Am I on? All right. Well, good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be with you guys today. We're going to go ahead and get started in Genesis chapter 17. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 15. So just a little bit about myself. I'm originally from a place in the middle of the United States called Kansas. It snows there and doesn't do that here, I guess, and I'm looking forward to not plowing snow anymore, so I'm looking forward to that. But I've worked on staff at Buchanan Avenue Baptist Church in Sioux City, Iowa, and we just moved here about two and a half weeks ago, and we're already loving it. We love the weather. Believe it or not, the people around here, and not loving the traffic so far, but it's been good getting adjusted here, and just appreciate the opportunity to preach to you guys today. So Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, let's go ahead and read, and the Bible says, "And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." What he did there is he changed his name from Sarai to Sarah, which means princess. So any husbands in here, if you want to earn some brownie points with your wife, just go home and call her princess. So that's what God told Abraham to do. You're no longer calling her Sarai, but we're going to call her Sarah, which means princess. In verse 16, "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "O that Ishmael might live before thee." Verse 19, "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." Then lastly, verse 21, "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." So the title of this message, this lesson, is God doesn't want our substitutes. God doesn't want our substitutes. And in order to fully understand this text, it's a familiar text, I believe. I believe most know the story of Abraham. But I think we need to go back and just to understand what's going on here. Back in Genesis chapter 12, you don't have to turn there, but the verses 2 and 3 say, God makes a covenant with Abraham. God makes a covenant. He says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and thou will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God made his covenant with Abraham, saying, "I'm going to make thee a great nation." He says, "I will make your name great, and all the earth will be blessed." And that's referring to through Abraham, through his line, he's going to send Jesus Christ. Through Abraham's line, so all the earth will be blessed. And in the same chapter, in verse number 7, God said to Abraham, "Unto thy seed will I give this land," referring to the land of Canaan. And so God's promised a child, and that's the only way this promise can happen. So, and Abraham at this time is 75 years old with no children. Now that's something that just doesn't happen every day, right? 75-year-olds aren't having babies, I don't think, unless that's happening here. No? Okay, good. But I just want to stop right here and just say, God can use anybody at any age. To God, age is just a number. I mean, we say that all the time. All age is just a number. But to God, Age really is just a number. God can use anyone at any age. He can use even young people. I think of the story of the account of Samuel, where God uses little Samuel to minister to Eli. And then we have here Abraham being 75 years old, and God is going to be using him. And so I just want to take this time and say that you're never too old to stop serving God. Many old people, elderly people count themselves out in serving God. And also many younger people count themselves out serving God. Oh, I'm too old to serve God. God can't use me. Or I'm too young to serve God. God can't use me. No, God can use anyone he wants. And that's just awesome to me. God can use anybody at any age. And just like many of us have doubts on God's will in our life, Abraham had doubts in his life with what God wanted. Obviously he was 75 years old and he didn't see how this was possibly going to happen. And so he doubted God essentially. We see after he doubts God, and I love this, God again assured Abraham of his covenant. God assured Abraham of his word. God does that in our lives as well. We see in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, I'll read it for you. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. So again, God here in chapter 15, verse 18, reassuring Abraham of his covenant. And because Abraham is just having doubts in his mind. And we see again, God is going to keep the covenant with Abraham. We see God encouraging Abraham again. Even when God, time and time again, encouraging Abraham, Abraham still gets impatient with God. Abraham got impatient with God and made his own plan and messed up big time. And if anyone else get impatient and mess up big time, maybe with the kids or with the spouse or someone, just you get impatient and you do something and you just know almost immediately, oh, I messed up big time. That's Abraham here. He got impatient with God and he messed up a big time. And I imagine I'm getting used to the traffic here. And so the red lights are what get me. You can come up to a red light and sit there and the green arrow never turns on. You're just sitting there and waiting and waiting. And then all of a sudden you just get the urge. You look to the left and you look to the right and you don't see anyone else around. So you decide, you know what, I'm just going to go through. And then what happens? The flash goes off or the red and blue lights come up behind you and you realize, oh, I messed up big time. Right? I messed up big time. You're paying the consequences for being impatient and acting upon that impatience. That's Abraham here. He decided that he's going to listen to his wife Sarah, and instead of going that route that God had planned for him with his wife and having a child through her, Sarah had a handmaid, and they decided to have a baby with Hagar, the handmaid, and they have a son and name him Ishmael. And back in that time, doing that was culturally acceptable. But what's culturally acceptable to the world is not always acceptable with God, right? There's some culturally acceptable things that happen every day here in America that are not acceptable with God, abortion being one of them. That's culturally acceptable to have an abortion, but to God, that's murder. And so even with God, things that are culturally acceptable and what Abraham thought was culturally acceptable at the time was not acceptable with God. And he ended up causing a bunch of drama, if I can say that, in his house because of this. And so Abraham takes Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, and has a son. And Abraham was thinking, hey, I have a son now. God can use Ishmael instead. But with God, the ends don't always justify the means. We use that phrase a lot nowadays. I hear people using that all the time. Oh, the ends justify the means. We got from point A to point B. It doesn't matter how we did it, but we got there. No, God might have you take not maybe the direct route to his will, but maybe he might take you all the way around all over before you get to where he wants. The ends don't always justify the means. Yeah, you get from point A to point B. Yes, Abraham had a son, but it wasn't what God wanted him to have. But the means which Abraham chose to act on ended up causing him a lot of trouble. But God had God had him name some son Ishmael, which means God hears, which is no doubt a reminder to Abraham that God hears us when we cry out to him. God hears us when we're discouraged. And if Abraham would have just called out to God in his time of doubt and struggle instead of making his own plan, God would have answered. God would have heard. But Abraham wanted to substitute God's plan for his plan. And the more time went on, the more discouraged Abraham was. And we see again in chapter 17 that God shows Abraham that he will keep his side of the covenant. In the beginning of chapter 17, God encouraged Abraham again that he'll keep his covenant. And with him, he will have a child with Sarah, his wife. In fact, God changes Abraham's name, which used to be Abram, to Abraham, meaning father of many or father of multitude, to serve as a constant reminder to Abraham of his covenant. And so his name's changed. Surely Abraham has to be on board now with God's promise, right? With God's covenant to him. Surely he is. But surely he has a handle on it. But that's where we are here in chapter 17, verse 15 in our text. Look at verse 15 with me in chapter 17 of Genesis. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt no longer call her name Sarah, but Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Something I also like to point out here is God cared about Sarah too. God cared about Sarah too. Even though we can get distracted in the life of Abraham and just focus in on Abraham and what he does, but we also forget that there's Sarah with him the whole time. There's Sarah, who's also written in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, where Sarah had faith. She had some faith too. And you know, God cared just as much for Sarah's life as he does for Abraham's life. He was working in Sarah's life as well, so much that he changed her name too. He didn't just change Abram's name to Abraham. He changed Sarah's name to Sarah. He cared about Sarah too. He was working in her life too. He changed it to princess because she will give birth and she will be the mother and grandmother of kings. If you can think of any of those right now, we have King David, King Solomon, and eventually the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And so ladies in here, God can still use you. God still wants a relationship with you. And don't count yourself out either. A lot of Abraham's problems was, and Sarah's problems were, that they didn't think God could use them. They didn't think God was going to keep their word with them. But God promised God gave them his word that he would bless them. But they doubted it. And so I just want to encourage everyone in here, God can still use you, no matter your age, no matter your gender, no matter where you are, what stage of life you are, God can still use you. Don't write yourself out of God's story. He has a plan for you. And God is showing how much he cares about Sarah here and that he plans and the plans that he has for her. And here's what Abraham had to say about that. He laughed. he heard God say, and Sarah's going to be the mother of nations. And here's what Abraham does. He goes, ha! That's what he does. He laughed at God's word. Those were God's words that God was giving to him. The Bible says, then Abraham fell upon his face, and what does it say there? And laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born to him that is 100 years old? See, he's counting himself out there. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? Abraham is still finding it hard to believe that he can have a son at 100 years old, which is hard to believe. I mean, I have a hard time thinking that could happen. And so Abraham obviously was having a hard time thinking that was happening, but he laughed at the words of God, probably because we see what he was also thinking in verse number 18. And Abraham, and the Bible says, and Abraham said unto God, this blows my mind, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Just after God is encouraging Abraham, Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. Let him live before thee, Lord. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, God, this sounds like a lot of work. This sounds like something I'm uncomfortable with. Can we substitute your plan for my plan? Can we just sub it out? Please, Lord. That sounds like a lot of work. That sounds like something I'm not comfortable with. That seems like something that's impossible. That seems like it might be hard. Can we just substitute your plan for my plan, Lord? And God heard Abraham's laugh and had him name his son Isaac, which, wouldn't you know, means laughter. for an everlasting, which was to serve as a reminder to Abraham of the unlikely means that God used to bring him into this world. And that's who God wanted to establish his covenant with. But God didn't forget about Ishmael. The Bible says, God says, "As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him and make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation." No, this blows my mind right here. If you know who Ishmael is, he's the father of Arab nations. He has given grief to and shed a lot of Jewish blood throughout all of history. His seed has, and to this very day, causing trouble for God's chosen people. Which, this just goes to show just how loving and gracious our Lord really is. God still cares about the descendants of Ishmael. There are missionaries right now that God is using to save Muslims and to save people over there in the Middle East where Ishmael's descendants live. God still cares about them too, even though he knew what the damage would be from them. Even though he knew that they would cause a lot of trouble, a lot of grief to the children of Israel, God still loves them. God had nothing against Ishmael. He didn't curse him. In fact, he did the exact opposite. He blessed him. God still cared about Ishmael. But God's covenant that he wanted would be with Isaac, the Bible says. "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year." Here's what it all boils down to. It's not that God cares about some people more than others. It's not that God cared about Isaac more than Ishmael. No, God loved them both. Just like he loves each and every one of us here tonight. God loved them both. He didn't curse Ishmael or anything. Ishmael didn't have a choice with how he was brought into the world. But God still loved them. It's not that God loves some people more than others. It's not that God forces us to live his way. It all boils down to God doesn't want our substitutions. He wants what he asks for. Do we have any basketball players in here? March Madness is going on, so that's obviously where my mind went. I love to play basketball. But one thing I hate about playing basketball is getting subbed out. If you've ever played basketball, that's just something that you don't like doing because you want as much playing time as possible. And there comes a time, now that I'm getting older, when I play a couple pickup games with the youth group or wherever I'm at, that I wish I could have a sub every now and then because I'm out of breath. But when you're playing basketball, when you're playing the game, who tells you what to do out on the court? The coach. The coach does. The coach tells you what to do. He tells you who can sub out, who can stay in, what plays to run, what routes to run. God, or the coach tells you that. Do the players decide who gets to sub in and who gets to sub out? Not you, unless it's the NBA, I don't know. But the coach is the one who controls the game. My wife has a brother in the fifth grade. We just watched a couple of his basketball games before coming here. And they made it to the tournament, and his team was pretty good. But there was this kid on the team who I think he thought he was the coach. Because he was out there, a little fifth grader, he was pretty good. But he was out there telling all the other kids what to do, telling them not to pass to that kid, which drove me nuts. And telling them which plays to run, and the coach seemed to be letting them do it. I wanted to go out there and take him out and put some other kid in. Because he was driving me nuts, because he was being the coach and the coach was not doing his job. He was calling his own plays. He was doing his own thing. And that's what Abraham was doing. Abraham was not listening to his coach. Abraham was getting his role wrong. He was trying to be his own coach. And here's what he said to God. "Hey, God, I don't want to use your guy that you're trying to put in. I want to sub him out for my guy. I don't want to use Isaac. I want to use Ishmael. I'm finding it hard to believe that I'm even going to have a son, Isaac, but I want to use Ishmael." He's trying to sub his plan out for God's plan. He says, I don't want you to make changes to my plan. How many times do we make our own plans and God interferes with our plans? Isn't that the worst? When God tries to interfere with our plans, like, "God, I've got my whole life planned out. I can't wait to do all this." And God says, "Actually, I'm going to have you do this." "No, God, that's not my plan. I want to do my plan, not your plan." And that's exactly what Abraham did. And whenever we look at the life of Abraham, we see all of Abraham's choices, and we see the direct results of whenever Abraham substitutes God's plan for his plan. We first see it whenever he goes down to Egypt. Abraham was not supposed to go down to Egypt. And because he went down to Egypt, he had his wife taken away from him because, number one, he said that she was his sister. And then he got all this wealth from Egypt. And so you might be thinking, oh, well, he turned out pretty good for going down to Egypt and getting all this wealth. Well, look what all the wealth, all the trouble that the wealth caused him. It caused him to split up from his nephew Lot because there was a division happening with his herdsmen. It caused him for Sarah to have a handmaid, an Egyptian handmaid who he eventually has an affair with and has Ishmael with. And that baby, because it all started when him going down to Egypt and coming back with all this wealth and riches and this handmaid, and he has a baby which is going to be his greatest enemy for the rest of time. And I can just imagine God looking at Abraham, well, look how your plans have been, look what happens whenever you follow your plan and not my plan. There's all these things, all these consequences happening from Abraham's life when he makes his own plans. And I can just see God saying, why don't you just follow my plan? The consequences are so much better. That's the same for our life today. God wants us to follow his plan, and all the time we make our own plans, and we decide to follow that, and look at the consequences that happen from that. God doesn't want our substitutes, he wants what he asked for. But how many times are we like Abraham, where God asks us for one thing, yet we substitute it out for another? Where we say, God, I know you say in your word that I should tithe 10%, but I'm going to sub that out and do 5% this time. Or God wants you to give more to missions, but you don't want to give more to missions. You want to give what you gave last time, and so you don't give what God laid on your heart to give to missions. You might say, God, I know my family should be in church every time the doors are open, but it's just this one away game that me and my family are going to go to, and we're just going to skip church for today. God, I know you want me to marry someone who is saved, but this guy or this girl is what I want, and I will lead them to the Lord after we're married. Let's substitute your plan for my plan, God. God, I know I should read my Bible, but I think I'm going to listen to a podcast of people talking about the Bible instead. We're subbing out what he wants for what we want. Where we say, this one gets me, is God, I know you want me to be a witness to my family and my friends and my coworkers. I know I should tell more people about you and how Jesus came and died for our sins, but that scares me, so I'm just going to post John 3:16 on my Facebook page. Let's just substitute your plan for my plan, God. God, I know you want me to physically go up and talk to this person and witness to them and tell them about you, but I'm just going to hand them a track instead. I do that. That's happened to me before, and God smote me for that. Going up to the waitress, and instead of just asking her, hey, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Instead, I just hand her a track and walk away. It's sometimes the little things that we can substitute out. Things that we think, oh, this will be all right. But whenever God lays it on your heart to do something, you better do it, because God doesn't want our substitutes. He wants what he asked for. You might say, God, I know you're calling me to the ministry, but how about I just remain a faithful church member? I'm older or I'm younger. I have a good job. Let me sub out what you want for what I want. I'm more comfortable with this. God, your plan sounds like a lot of work. I see a lot of different rough trails on your plan, Lord, but I like my plan. It's nice and easy. Can we substitute your plan for my plan? God doesn't want our substitutes. He wants what he asked for. Do you know what you're doing when you substitute your plan for God's plan? You're eliminating faith. Faith that God will provide. Faith that God will keep his word. The sad thing is, a lot of Christians don't know God's word well enough to even know they're substituting out things that God wants in their life for things that God does not want in their life. And many are missing out on the blessings of God because they're substituting out God's plan for their plan. You might be thinking, oh, who's this guy coming to our church preaching? This isn't a very uplifting sermon. In fact, I'm very discouraged right now. What if I've already messed up? What if I've already been substituting God's will for my life a long time ago? Well, here's some encouragement. Through this whole account, you see God's grace. This is right after Abraham commits adultery, but God still wants to use him. Abraham laughed at God's word, yet God still wanted to use him. Sarah laughed at God's word, and God still cared about Sarah. Ishmael was going to be the enemy of the Israelites for the rest of time, but God still cared about Ishmael. We see grace woven throughout this whole passage, throughout the whole life of Abraham and through the life of Sarah. And through it all, we see God remaining faithful. And he will continue to remain faithful to us even when we blow it. Anyone else blow it sometimes? A lot of times? I blow it a lot. But you know what? God still wants to use me. I can find comfort in that. I can find encouragement in that. But to know, hey, you know what? Just because I blow it, I'm not out of the game. God still wants to use me. God still wants to work in my life. He's not done working in my life no matter what age I'm at. No matter if we're 75 or even as Abraham at this point, 100 years old, God's still not done working on us. Even when we blow it, God can still use us. Even when you think you don't deserve another chance, God is still faithful. So I just want to leave you with some questions this morning. What part of God's plan are you currently substituting out for your plan? I'm sure we all can. Something pops into our minds almost instantly when I ask that question. What are we substituting for God's plan right now? Are you a little fearful of what you know God has called you to do, of what you know God is asking you to do? Why not get that taken care of this morning? There might be one in here saying, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it, Lord. I don't want to substitute my plan out for your plan anymore. Don't substitute what God wants for what you want. That's what I have for your lesson. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for everything you do for us, Lord. I just pray that you'll just help us to hide these things in our heart and just help us to apply these things to our lives.